Obviously, this is a different setup than our typical Sunday morning. Someone said, it looks like we're doing a talk show today. And I said, yeah, Randy's our special guest. And they said, someone said, well, as long as you don't let him sing, we'll be good. And I said, well, luckily, Randy's not our special guest. I hope you had a great Christmas. Sarah and I had a great Christmas. Tell you what, I'm still reliving the moments from our Christmas Eve service. It was a powerful service, and I said I wanted to do it next year, but Christmas falls on Sunday next year, so I don't know what we'll do next year. We might do the candlelight service Christmas morning. I don't know. We'll pray on that and think on that over the next year. But it was a wonderful service, and thank you, each of you that came. We actually had a higher attendance in our Christmas Eve service than we did the Sunday before, which was awesome. I was expecting 30 people, so I was thankful for that. We are doing a different type of sermon today. We were bouncing around different ideas of what to do today, and I finally said, why don't we just do a conversational-style sermon? So, yeah, we are. It is going to be like a talk show. We are going to talk. Me and Pastor Lisa and Pastor Bernard are going to kind of have a conversation that you're going to be witnessing, that you're going to be a part of, that you're going to be able to listen to. We've never done this before. We have not practiced at all. So we'll see how this goes. So just bear with us. But I thought this would be great for... First of all, I'm thankful for the pastors that I'm able to serve with, the team I'm able to serve with. And so I thought this would be great to bring up the other pastors that I am blessed to serve with to help me recap this past year. And the way we're going to recap this past year, and we're going to look back on this past year, is we're going to be looking at our word for this previous year, which was more. And I want to share to you how God gave me that word. He gives me a word for our church every year, and you'll hear next week our word for 2022, and you also hear next week about how each word has been very, very appropriate for our church in that year, and this year was probably the greatest evidence of it that we've seen so far. So our word for the year was more, and I go back to October of 2020. It was a Friday evening. I can remember it pretty clearly. I was sitting in my recliner. I don't think Sarah was home yet, and God told me to go outside. And so I went outside, and I spent some time with him. I was really down about the church at that point. Our attendance was low. The other metrics that we use was not looking good. We were just coming out of COVID, you know, and you know, churches were really struggling. Churches are struggling today. But then also I had what's called compassion fatigue. And compassion fatigue is something pastors in particular have to watch out for, because we hear a lot of stories about what people are going through and people are facing. And if they're a good pastor, they're going to feel compassion for the people going through it. And over time, that can drain your system. And so at that time, October of 2020, we had a bunch of people going through things. People struggling with drugs, people struggling with alcohol. Marriages were on the brink of being broken up. People were allowing fear, fear of COVID, fear of whatever, to control every aspect of their life. That was right in political season. So there was that fear of the government that I think causes us to act irrationally. People were struggling mightily, and the darkness seemed to be holding us back. And so I remember laying back in the chair outside, and I could see a cloud coming over the horizon, and it was a dark cloud. Yet behind it, you could see the sun was still shining. And God told me that day that even though it looks dark, the light is still shining. The darkness is going to come, but I am working behind the scenes. And I asked God why this darkness was coming over our church, and he took me back to a sermon I preached on August the 23rd, and those of you that were here at that point, you'll probably remember it. It was a sermon about sin in the church, and it was a sermon that really stuck with our church. At that time, we talked about how our sin can be passed down to future generations, generational sin. And a lot of the sins we're struggling with, people in previous generations of our family struggled with as well. And so at the end of the service, I sensed that God had opened the door for generational sins to be broken if we would respond. And I remember how brokenhearted I left that day because people didn't respond. I remember worshiping right there, during the last song, and I had sensed that people missed it. And I got out in the car, and I hadn't really said anything to Sarah, and Sarah, one of the first things out of her mouth was, they missed it. And I remember standing right there thinking, this has set our church back. And it had. I believe we could have experienced some mighty things this past year, even mightier than what we have experienced, if people would have responded in that moment the right way. But because they didn't, we had to go through this dark season. In fact, President Biden, he was in the one of the debates, he said that we were in for a dark winter. And that night, God told me that our church was in for a dark winter. That dark winter actually lasted longer than the season of winter, even into the summer of this past year. People were going to continue to struggle. People were going to continue to go through things. And later I made the connection that God was telling me all this about the dark winter on October the 23rd. And only a few months earlier, on August the 23rd, was when I taught that sermon. So that was confirmation for me. I don't believe in coincidences. So the fact that God was delivering me a message on the 23rd about the message I taught on the 23rd of August, I knew that was from God. And so our lack of response that day in his presence, I believe, set our church back. And so I asked God, what do I do as the pastor of this church? Because I have the tendency to think I'm in control and think about what I can do. And God told me simply to just love. Just to love on our congregation and just to love him with all of who I could be. And so we went through that dark winter, and I think that things needed to get worse before they got better. But in January of 2021, I introduced our word for the year, which was more. And when I delivered that sermon that day, I talked about how I believe this word was meant in about three different ways. And this is the way we're structuring today's message. The three different ways are going to be the 3 points, and Pastor Bernard's going to talk about the first one, Pastor Lisa's going to talk about the second one, and I'm going to talk about the third one, and we're going to look back at how these words and these statements, how we actually experience these things as a church family, as a body of believers. But the first way that I believe that God was telling me that we needed more is that we need more of God. We needed more of God through what we were going through, and he had to break us down for us to realize we need more of him. But the second layer of that was that we must give God more of us. This was like the cause, the effect would have been that, well, the effect that should have been is that we would give God more of us. And then finally, the third was that God wants to do more through us. So we're going to structure our conversation around those three things. And so Pastor Bernard's going to share with you what God has laid on his heart for the first one.
All right. We were getting this together, and like I said, we have not practiced anything. We've not really went over a whole lot. It's just kind of going to be a conversation. And one of the first things that I thought of was out of the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 22 through 25. The Bible says that one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got on a boat and they started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped, and all was calm. Then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the winds and the waves obey him." So, you know, when we talk about 2021, we know that we needed more of God. And we were desperate for God because of the storms of life that the people were facing. You know, Pastor Nathan hit on some of those storms in his introduction. But we were desperate to see God move. And just like in these verses of Scripture, we see that the disciples, they needed God. They didn't have any faith at all. They were getting ready to drown. They were dying. They were going to die. And who do they call on? They call on Jesus. And we realized that, and we figured out that we needed to respond to God. Yeah. We know that we always need God. Yeah. We just have to realize it. Yeah. And, you know, when we start to do more for God, we begin to get more of God.
Yeah. Here's a question I have for Pastor Bernard and Pastor Lisa. Why do you think it sometimes takes us experiencing a storm for us to realize our need for God?
We got to get ourselves out of the way. I mean, that's for me. You know, it's, I can handle it. I can take care of it. That's too minor for God to take care of. He cares about every single detail of our life. But I think sometimes we put ourselves in the way.
I'll agree. I mean, I think a lot of times we get in the way. I mean, it's all kind of like Pastor Lisa said. It's, you know, God, you take care of the big things. We'll take care of the little things. And then what happens? We mess up. We mess up more than we could. I mean, we can't do anything without God anyway. But we begin to try to do more for ourselves and take God out of it. And we make a big mess out of everything.
Yeah, and I'm going to go off of that because I think sometimes God allows us to experience the full consequences of our sin. I don't think he always allows us to experience the full consequences of our sin, but when we begin to become so prideful that we're not looking for him, he allows us to experience the full consequences of our sin. Because I think there's a layer a lot of times where we kind of like our sin. You know, like there's a layer where you like it, even though you know it's wrong and know it's not what God desires. And over time, he allows you to experience the full consequences of that so that you learn to hate it as he does. And I think that that's where our church had to get to for us to respond in the manner that he wanted us to respond. And I know our Celebrate Recovery group just went over a book called Overcoming Spiritual Slump. And one of the stages in overcoming spiritual slump is disgust. Disgust of your state, disgust of your sin. And I think it took a little bit for our church to get to that point. But once we got to that point, people responded, and I was thankful for that.
Well, I think a lot of times, just kind of going off of that, you know, we think about our sin, but sometimes we just, we think, well, you know, nobody's going to know about this little sin that we're doing here or this little thing that we're doing here. We'll keep it hidden. But God knows. And that's the thing. God knows. I mean, regardless of if anybody else knows, God knows.
I think you get comfortable, too.
Right. Exactly.
I think if you've been in a sin for years and years and years, you're comfortable. And so change is hard, whether it's a good change or a bad change. But I think that we all get comfortable, and we don't like, especially as we get older, you know, change is harder. And so I think we just.
I'm so young.
I'm not talking about. I did not. I held my hand up. We're the same
age.
It's us. You are the old ones. I'm the young
one.
We're
the old.
I'm not even going to go over there, David.
But I just think if it's in drugs or alcohol or whatever, you've just been doing it for 20 years or however long you've been doing it, and it's just comfortable, and it becomes a part of who you think you are because you don't have God.
Kind of going off of that, one thing that just kind of popped in my mind was the table gatherings that we were doing, one of them, when you were, I think you were teaching tonight, we was talking about the basement, mm-hmm. that we clean our house, but we leave our basement. We want it to stay. That's our place. We don't want to allow God in there. We'll allow God in the living room or the kitchen, but we're not going to allow him in our private places, our basement or whatever.
That was in our holiness series that we did in our table gatherings.
Yeah. Talking about wanting God to have every part of our life, mm-hmm. but each of us has a basement that we have that extra junk in.
Absolutely.
It's a great analogy.
I just thought of that. I mean, that's a perfect example. I mean, you know. I know we done a couple of sermon series. Pastor Nathan did. He done the More series, and that's kind of what we're going off of here. But he talked about that we needed more of God, that God demands more of us. We must give more to God, and God wants to do more through us. And, I mean, we're going to cover all that pretty much today, but I was just thinking that how true is that? How true is that, that we just need more? And I was thinking this morning, because I really didn't know how this was going to go, and, you know, all these scenarios are playing through your mind, and but I just got to thinking, and God kind of laid on my heart that, you know, more was our word for this past year. But it don't have to be, it don't have to stop this past year. We need to continue to do more. We need to continue to place that word right on up top and do more for God. Because the more we do for God, the more he's going to do for us. And the more that, the more we're going to rely on him more than ourselves. He also, we all done the I Am series. And talked about what God was and what God is. He's the bread of life, the light of the world. He's the gate, the way, the truth, and the life. The vine and the resurrection. And, you know, we talk about the vine. And I think it was, not this year, but last year, that we done the message on the vine. And talked
right when COVID was hitting.
Right before.
That was actually our last sermon before COVID hit. Was COVID. On the vine.
Yep. And you know, we talked about that. There's pruning that's going to take place, and I think we've seen that in our church. You know, over the past couple of years, anyway. You know, we've lost some people. We've gained a lot of people, and that's the way God works. He's going to clean up what he needs to clean up to get us to focus more on him. We also done the hot topics, and you know, we talked about alcohol and homosexuality and relationships, racism, and the role of women. And that was a great series. We kind of rolled off of the table gatherings into a sermon series, and it was great because we done covered hot topics in our table gatherings for several weeks, and it was great because, I mean, it actually talked about stuff that we're all dealing with.
Going back to the Hot Topics sermon series we did, I remember God leading me to do the Hot Topics series so that those that needed to be pruned would be pruned from our church, and those that were aligned with our values would strengthen their loyalty to our church. And I've heard a lot of conversations and people say, you clarified a lot of things in that series for us, and we basically agree with all of it. I also had some said they didn't agree with it, and some of them are no longer here. And I remember God leading me to do that sermon series at that time so that that pruning would take place. For us to produce the fruit that I believed he wanted us to produce later in the year, as we have seen.
And pruning is not always easy. You know, it's tough, but it's something that we have to go through. Even in our own lives. It's not just a church, it's in our own lives.
That's right.
We have to cut things away in our own lives so we can do more for God, and we can focus more on God. Some of the Bible studies that we've done over the past year, the Kingdom Men, it was awesome. There was some things that we totally didn't agree with in that study, but that was a powerful study. You know, we were meeting on Zoom That lasted, what, 6 weeks, I believe? I believe it was a six-week study. And there was so much that we could, you could just feel through that study that really strengthened the men that was in it, I think. Like I said, there was a few little small things that we totally didn't agree with, but overall it was a great study. And I think Pastor Lisa, you done the Breaking Free series.
Yeah, it was a really good study too. For any of you that heard my story, that study helped me to kind of realize that I was supposed to be in the ministry, that I was called. And so we did this study, and it was a long study, but I really think that people walked away from it changed. There were some things that resurfaced even for me when I was going back through it again. So we had a really good, I enjoyed that series. Again, it was long. I think it was 8 weeks. It was long. I don't know what it was, but it was really good, really good.
And even going on down and talking about our table gatherings last year, I know the Tuesday group done the names of God in that group, and I heard good things about that study. And, you know, like I've done mentioned before, our Friday night group, we've done the Hot Topics, and I think that kind of led into the sermon series a little bit, kind of all worked together. And it's amazing to see how God brings everything together for him. We've done a membership meeting for our table gathering, and we also done the holiness. And I really enjoyed the holiness.
I did too.
I thought that was great. It brought to life a lot of what we all talk about and what we hear. But it was just a really down-to-earth and good study.
Yeah, really in-depth. It was really good.
We started discipleship coaching actually a little before 2021, but we've done a lot through last year, and it has helped a lot of people. And that's something that that I think has been really strong for our church, is the discipleship coaching.
I want to share a little bit from that. With the discipleship coaching, one of the reasons why we started it was because we saw people were in need, and that they we're kind of looking for direction, and so we started that. And what's really been cool is that we have met with two people outside of our church and helped them work. One of them, we helped them work through the anxiety associated with COVID. I mean, they couldn't even hardly get out of their house. And after meeting with us a few times, they were able to use some of the strategies that Scripture talks about and apply Scripture to their life to the point that COVID wasn't scaring them to that point anymore. And then another one was grieving the loss of his dad. And able to meet with him like 6 weeks and 5 weeks and help him through that and teach him some things from Scripture to help him deal with that, made some breakthroughs in there. But that we provide that for people in our church and outside of our church, obviously, who just need to sit down with someone just to seek some spiritual direction. And it's what I tell them is not us giving spiritual direction. My job is to point you to the Spirit, who we know will give you direction in your life. And it goes back to that we need more of God. And sometimes people just need to be redirected to knowing their need for God and get them pointed in that direction. And so we offer that even today. If you're ever interested in doing that, you can talk to Stephanie. She kind of oversees that. You can talk to any of us, and we'd be more than happy to meet with you. Very, very kind of informal. I mean, nothing too fancy. It's just if you need to talk, we are here to talk, and we want to help you through things.
Another thing that we started this year, this past year, was to celebrate recovery. And Stephanie had done a great job with it. We met, when did it start? It started in January of last year. And it has been awesome. You know, that group started out a little bigger than it was at the end, but the ones that stuck through it, I think they really got a lot out of it, and that's going to start back again this January. So that's something we're looking for, ways to do more and to give more, and that's a way to do it. We also started youth in February of last year, which I think has really been good for the young people. heard good things through it. But that's just some ways that we gave people an opportunity to go deeper with God. And people responded. We had some to attest to experiencing entire sanctification over the past year. And that's awesome. We measured our success at that time on how disciples were being made. We measured it on what we called the Strive for Five. And our metrics gradually grew to an all-time percentage high this past year. And that was because people realized their need and they responded. So it's been a really good year. It's been a good year to be here and to grow deeper with God and to see people growing deeper with God and doing more for God. It's been awesome.
Next, we're going to talk about we must give God more of us. You know, we all need to give more to God. I mean, there's never a stopping point with that. It's always more, more, more. And so Romans 12, 1 through 8, Paul gives us kind of a foundation for Christian living and how we can give more. And it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ giving us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly." So as we look through that, you know, one way that we can give ourselves more is by giving our bodies to God and letting them be a living and holy sacrifice. In other words, not physically laying yourself down on a fire, but bringing your whole self to God. Giving all of you to him, not, as he mentioned earlier, the house thing. We don't want to give him just our arm, you know, or our foot. He wants all of us. Like, he wants our whole self in it for him. And then another way we can give more is don't act like the world. It says, it talks about there about not, you know, don't copy the behavior or customs of the world. We need to let God transform us. It is so easy when you're out in the world to become the world. You know, if you've got 10 people standing around you and they're of the world and you've got one person over here to the side that's a Christian, it's so much easier to follow those 10 than that one, right? So we have to learn to not conform to the world, but we have to stand by God even closer. You know, he wants to do more. He wants to use us, and we just have to make that commitment and make those changes. And then we can give more of ourselves by staying humble. Verse 3 there warns us to remain humble. It's so easy to become prideful when using the spiritual gifts that God gave us. Pastors become prideful. You know, how many times did you hear about pastors? You know, it's all about them. You know, they're up on this pedestal, which people put pastors on pedestals, but then the pastors take advantage of that. And they lose their humility, and it's all about them, and they lose focus that it's all about God. It has nothing to do with you, the pastor. It has all to do with God. So, and then as worship leaders, they become prideful. Leaders become prideful. You know, we must keep ourselves humble because without God, we are nothing, absolutely nothing. And then verses 4 through 8, it talks about, you know, we give more by using our spiritual gifts, our specific gifts that God has given to us. We are all one body of Christ. We all function together as one body, but all doing different things. So each gift is unique. You know, God gave each of us our own special gifts, and we must focus on our gifting and not try to be the best in someone else's gifting. And something that's been hard for me to kind of think about is I might can do it. Like, I might could do something, but somebody else could probably do it better. So it's best if I just step back and let that person do it. So just because I can do it, that doesn't mean that's my spiritual gift. So sometimes I've gotten in the way of letting people use their spiritual gifts. So you really need to be aware of that. You know, really tune into what your spiritual gift is and focus on that and work on that and not be trying to do 10 of them.
So here's a discussion question. What happens when more people are using their gifts for God in the church?
We grow. Not only numerically, which is not about the numbers, it really is not. What's more important is spiritually. We have seen such spiritual growth this past year. And as one of your pastors, it's awesome to see that. You know, those people that we've prayed for years, to see that that entire sanctification that he mentioned, but to see that, I can't even explain it. You know, I don't know everybody's story, but I know several stories. And there's been a lot of prayers from these three especially for those people. And then to see that breakthrough come through, wow. I've got goosebumps just talking about it. God is awesome. He really is awesome.
Well, I think when people start using their spiritual gifts, it makes it easier on everybody. Mm-hmm. Because they're able to do what they're called to do, it allows everybody to fall into where they're called to be. And, you know, it don't put you in a position that you have to do something that you may not feel comfortable doing, or, you know, because it's allowing everybody to do what they're called to do.
My dad used to work at Post, and they would talk about putting a line down every now and then. And I think about how the factory's not producing as much as they could because they're not working as much as they could. Everything's not working the way it should be working. And, you know, the church should be a disciple-making factory. And so often you only have a few lines working because so many people are not using their gifts. But when everybody is using their gifts, the factory is running at full strength and producing. It's a well-oiled machine and producing disciples, which is what God has called us to do. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of churches, and I'm thankful our church is not like this, but they leave the disciple-making up to the pastor or the pastors. And I'm thankful our church isn't like that. I'm thankful that we have what the old term would be lay people who are not ordained ministers or licensed ministers who are making disciples of Jesus. Because that's not just that commission that he gave us was not just for pastors, that was for every follower of him.
That's right.
And so we have to continue to use our gifts. And when the whole church is using our gifts, I think about it, our capacity grows. Our ability to do more grows. And I'm thankful we've seen that this past year. And I'm excited because some of the people that we've added over the last few months, I know that they are servers and that they use their gifts. And that means our capacity as a church just grew that much more.
Yes.
And it really excites me for the future. And I'm excited to see what God is going to do.
We also did a few sermon series about how we can give more. The first one that I've got is the APEST series, where all of us preach on a different spiritual gift. Some of you even took the APEST test. If you've never taken an APEST test and you would like to see kind of what your spiritual gift is, what you're strong in, we'll be glad to give you a link for that. It's really neat to see. Most of mine lined up pretty good with what I thought, but sometimes you'd be surprised at what your gift is.
And just to explain that, because it sounds like she's talking about a pest, and we're not talking about Randy. APEST would be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. And we believe that God has gifted and called each person to one of those, at least one of those five functions or callings in the church. And each one kind of serves a specific purpose in the church. So when we're talking about APEST, we're not talking about a pest.
APEST.
It's apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers out of Ephesians.
Yeah. And for, no, it's not. And I'm just going to challenge you. For those that did take that, you know, are you using your gift? Are you working on your gift? You know, are you trying to build your gift? You know, if you're not and you need some help with that, I'm volunteering myself, but I'm also volunteering them, but voluntolding them. But, you know, we'd be glad to help you, you know, with that, because it's so important that you are functioning how God wants you to function. The church needs you. And I don't mean Cornerstone. I'm talking about the church needs everyone. So if you've not taken that, or if you have and you need some help with it, you know, just please let us know. Nathan also preached a series on Elijah. And through that series, we're reminded that we all go through dry seasons, but those dry seasons are to help remind us that we are not God, that we should be totally dependent on Him, and we should be in total surrender. Kind of feels like we went through a dry season a little bit this year. But man, looking back, look where we came from and look where we are now. And so it takes those dry seasons to help remind us that He's our water. You know, that it's Him. It's all about Him. That was a really good series. I enjoyed that on Elijah. And then in September, Pastor Nathan preached a series called I Love You, Lord. And during that five-week series, we learned about how important our relationship with God is, how we love because God first loved us, and we must love others, and we must be fully devoted to God. You know, one of those that's hard for me is, you know, we love because He first loved us. Even when we were in the ditch. You know, even when we're in those valleys. He loves us anyway. And so, you know, that's just something that we need to remember. When we don't think we can, He don't want more from us. Yes, He does. He loves you exactly where you are. So just remember that. So all three of these series taught us how to give more to God. This past year, we have seen people go deeper and commit more of their lives to Him. Some people have overcome their sins and help that's held them down for years. Our financial giving has been on par with last year as people continue to tithe, and we thank you for that. That's, you know, we getting ready to talk through what we're able to do with that money. But as a church, as small as we are, if we're able to give to others as much as we do, that is a blessing from God. So I just want to thank you guys for your faithful giving. Because of that, we've been able to do a winter giveaway in January. We gave coats and all kinds of stuff away. It was a little bit everything, I think. But we had that winter giveaway in January. We did a baby bottle campaign for Your Choices Randolph, where we raised $500. Then for Easter, we had our Easter Family Fun Day. We had around 100 kids and probably around 250 people here all together for that. And that's a great community event. In August, we did our annual summer giveaway. We were able to hand out 150 book bags as well as clothing and household items. And then our winter giveaway, we just had that back right before Thanksgiving. We handed out box meals. We had a free lunch and free clothing. We had a really good turnout. I think the best turnout we've had for that was really, really good. And then for this past week or two, we gave you those gift cards to hand out to others. And we were able to adopt some local children too. All your money that you give us is not ours. We were able to take that and give it back to the community, which is what we're supposed to do anyway. So we just, again, thank you for your faithful giving.
I don't have exact numbers, but we devote about 15% of our budget to outreach. And this year we've probably brought in around $100,000. So we basically have invested $15,000 back into the people in our community. And you think about $15,000 being invested back into our community. I can't remember, Wes went over the stats for like the average income in this area. Is like in Randolph County is like $50,000, and like in southern Randolph County it's like $40,000 or something like that. And so you talk about, we help some people. If we provide them with clothes, maybe they can afford to pay their power bill, so they're not sitting in the cold in the winter, you know. And so I'm thankful for that. Thank you for your giving. I guess somewhere in the last year we've used that money in a way to help roughly invest $15,000 back into our community, and that's pretty awesome for a church our size to be able to say that.
We've also had more people step up to volunteer over the last 6 months. If you've been here for a little while, you've noticed we've gotten a lot of new faces, which is awesome. So with new faces mean we need more volunteers. And so we've had some more people step up. We've added Elizabeth to our worship team. And so that's been a blessing. Sarah has stepped up and started. She's our worship leader now. I think she's doing an awesome, awesome job. And so, you know, that was something that was not planned, but she stepped into it. Was she stressed out? She's still stressed out. But just, you know, make sure you tell her what a great job she's doing. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I think our worship's been awesome. And very spirit-led, spirit-filled. It's not about us. It has nothing to do with what the music sounds like. It has nothing to do with what the singers sound like. It all has to do with us worshiping God. And I believe the Spirit has been here the last few months. So thank you for your leading and taking that step and letting us continue to worship and not have to do multi-tracks all the time. It's not my favorite. I'm not a multi-track fan. And then also Zach and Corey and the whole tech team has stepped up and took over all that area back there. You know, they were not prepared for that. I mean, they were helping back there, but they were not prepared to take those shoes either. And they've done a great job. They're still tweaking it and making it better. But thank you guys for doing that. We appreciate that. You know, when the going gets tough, what do? We don't lay down. We keep on going, right? And so they've done a really good job. So thank you guys for doing that. And then, as he mentioned earlier, our youth started back up in February, but we've also added another level of youth. We have the young adults, which is kind of the high school age kids and up, and then we have the middle schoolers. And so Stephanie and Janet have stepped up and been teaching, handling those kids, bless their heart, because one of mine's in there, bless your heart. anyway, he's full of questions, I'm sorry. But anyway, that's been a great piece too, because the middle schoolers are not to the the high school age. Like, they just need a little extra. That's a good way of putting it. Eli needs a little extra. But they just need that because they're in a transition period. You know, this year has been hard for us. He went from fifth grade to sixth grade, so that's just a delicate time right there. So thank you guys for being dedicated to that, and taking your time out and doing that.
I know some adults that need a little extra sometime too.
Yes, they do. I agree with that.
Looking over here.
And maybe that one right there. Oh my goodness. And then of course our Cornerstone Kids has grown this year, and we just want to thank Miss Anita for everything that she does. Her and Don are faithfully here, and we appreciate that. And June is over there today, and we appreciate her doing that. We've had some other people that have stepped up and started helping. Tim has started helping in there. Adam and Amy Kruthus has helped. Angela is over there today helping. And we just thank you guys for that. You know, you sacrifice your time and your energy for those children. But I can't stress enough how important that is, because they are our future. And you might be the only Jesus they see. You know, I don't know where all those kids, like I know where some of those kids come from, but I don't know where they all come from. So you might be their only Jesus. So thank you so much for taking your time, because like I said, they are our future. And if we want the church to be here, we got to raise them up in church. We got to teach them about Jesus. That's right. We got to train them up. And so then with that, with growth, we've added a nursery. And so we've had some people step up and help us with that, which is great. I love having babies here. I just want to thank Angela, helps back there again, Angela Whitman. And then Keith and Andrea have stepped in and helped. Skylar is back there today. I saw her earlier. And then Eleanor has helped some back there too. Thank you for some donations that you did as well. I know Jamie's donated some stuff. We've got all kinds of stuff back there. But anyway, it's great. I love having babies here. And so just thank you so much for those that have stepped up and doing more. You know, it takes all of us. you know, it just takes all of us to make it work. So thank you so much, because, you know, those precious babies are the church too. You know, they're our future church. So thank you for taking care of that. And I just want to end with a verse, Proverbs 16:3, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. So just commit everything that you do to God, doing more for him.
I wasn't expecting them to talk as much as they did. They left me with negative 17 on the clock.
He said...
Went over.
You said earlier we had 10 minutes. I thought, me? 10 minutes?
10 minutes?
Really?
So now the long-winded one has to go quick here at the end. So anyway, here we go. God is doing more through us, and I want to talk to you about that. So thankful for what God is doing. I'm not going to spend long on this, but just to give you some numbers here, we have added almost 50 new people in the last year.
Hallelujah.
Our visitor numbers are like double that. We've had almost 100 visitors walk through here or somewhere around that number. But here's what's really crazy for me. 40 of the new people we've added have come since July. So you're talking six months, something like that, that we have grown really rapidly. We have a total of about 105 people listed as a part of our church right now. Back in July, that number was probably 60. So you're talking, I looked it up earlier, it's like 66% growth just in the last few months. That's crazy growth, quick growth. And this, like, our average attendance on Sunday morning from January to July, we average about 50 people in service. From July to now, the average has jumped up to 63, and over the last 2 months, the average is like 76. That is really amazing, church, that God is doing more through us. Some people asked me, said, what are y'all doing differently? I said, nothing. It is God blessing us because you have chosen to give more of yourselves to him. And I'm so thankful for that. Kids ministry is growing to the point of us needing more workers, both in kids and in the nursery. We really need to split that class, the kids ministry, up into two. You add a few more babies in here, we're going to need to take the whole room back there to be the nursery. We're talking about some of the facility issues that we're going to run into if we have that same amount of growth over the next 4 or 5 months. And so you're here next week about how we plan on addressing that here in our church. But I want to look at Acts, the book of Acts, as my scripture for you. The early church experienced rapid growth as well. In Acts chapter 2, 41, this is the day of Pentecost. We're told that those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. It was about 3,000 in all. But you know, they didn't settle there. They didn't say, great, we've grown. Thankful for that. No, we're told a couple chapters later in Acts 4, 4, many of the people who heard their message believed it, so the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000, not counting women and children. That is rapid growth, church. They experience even more rapid growth than what we have experienced. And I think there's a key in there to seeing why they experienced that growth. And that key is found at the end of Acts chapter 2. In between the first 3,000 and the next 2,000, this is what they did. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. What did they do? They had church. They were the church. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because this is just something that's under my skin today. So many churches canceled today. When right there, they met together daily. And we're saying, hey, we're celebrating Christmas, but we're going to take off the last Sunday of the year. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I thought that
the scripture told us to meet together regularly, especially as we see the day of the Lord drawing near. So I think it's important for us to be together. I know there are people out of town today, but they met together daily. And I believe that if we continue to grow, if we continued, each one of us continued to be intentional about being a disciple of Jesus and making disciples of Jesus, God's going to do even more in 2022. The church was intentional. The early church was intentional about making disciples, and they were intentional about being disciples. We need to continue to be intentional as well. And so we debuted our new discipleship process that we called Connect, Commit, Care. We want to continue to see you connect with God and one another. We want to see you to continue to grow in your commitment to God and commitment to one another, to discipling one another, and in care for both those inside the church and outside the church. And church, if we continue to do that, my goodness, what could God do through you in 2022? I believe I'm sensing what God is wanting to do, but we have to respond, much like this year. If we would not have given God more of us midway through the year, those numbers that I read that we've had since July would not have happened. But because we responded the right way, we've seen God do more than what we could ever ask for or imagine according to his power at work within us. And 2022 can be the same. So what I want to tell you today, yes, we celebrate what God's done in the past, but we can't settle. We can't settle. God has done more because you have given more and have desired more of him, but I believe God wants to do even more. But you and me, we have to continue to let ourselves be vessels for him to use. And if you do, he will continue to add to his kingdom through the ministries of Cornerstone Church, through the ministries of you. And so next week, Lord willing, I'm going to deliver our word for the year for 2022. It's a word that was actually on my heart last year, but then God took me to this word, I think, to prepare us for this upcoming year. And I can tell you, if we respond the right way, we're going to do some big, big things for his kingdom this year. Yeah. I'm really excited. I have that nervous anticipation. And so I'm going to pray as we end today's service, and then I'm going to do the announcements. We're just going to, since we went long-winded, we're just going to scratch the last song. But I want you to think about how God has been faithful this past year. But I also want to thank you for being faithful to him. Let's pray.